please join me. Standing with the Pledge of Allegiance. Austin Medina, you want to lead the
My pleasure, sir.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. Good to see everyone. It's been a while since we had an in-person like this, so a little bit scary, I guess, you know, and it's good to see everybody. Members, any comments before we begin?
One second, Chair.
Okay.
Let us switch out our name tags for you real quick.
My bad, Matt. Sorry,
I didn't. Yeah, I noticed
we've
all shifted. I feel a little tilted today.
Good to see you, sir. How are you?
You know,
good to see you.
I know.
How you doing?
Hey, Rhodes.
Hey, Dave.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
The senior director, Matt. All right, no comments from members. Matt, I'll turn it over to you for agenda item B, introduction, presentations, and announcements.
Yeah, I'm going to do a roll call, too, just since we have a couple people virtually. Sheriff Daniels is in the room.
Here.
Commander Figueroa, welcome. This is your first in-person meeting. Thank you for making the drive down. We appreciate it. Good to see you. Yeah. Mr. Johnson, I see you. Can you hear us?
Good morning.
Good morning. Ms. Kelly, I see you. Can you hear us? Good morning. Officer Medina is in the room. Sheriff Rhodes is in the room. Director Shin is in the room. Chief Vasquez is in the room. Ms. Weiss, can you hear us? Good morning. And Chief Williams is in the room. Sir, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Matt. You want to move on to your agenda items, please?
I will. Starting with announcements, again, I already said, but Commander Matt Figueroa from Coconino County Sheriff's Office, our jail commander representative, is here. I'm glad to have you on board. I think this is your third meeting or fourth meeting now, so it's good to have you down here. I know it's a long drive, so I know a couple of you make long drives, so we do appreciate your time commitments. For the board, Gene Galvin from the Attorney General's Office will be your independent advisor for your final action cases that Mark Brachtel will be presenting to you. So if you have any questions, Gene will be your legal representative. If you could look at your agenda, we're going to pull two cases. They're both under new cases. The first one is item number one, case 20-138, Alan Burkoff. We're going to pull that. You'll see it on a future agenda. And then actually number two as well, 20-139, Nicholas Adams. We're pulling that as well. You'll see that on a future agenda as well. The final announcement I'd like to make is just a reminder that next month's meeting, although we normally historically have held it during the week of the summit up in Flagstaff, since the timing's off, we're going to actually host it here. So your July meeting is not in Flagstaff, it's here on our normal third Wednesday of the month, which is July 21st, just FYI. And then, Chairman, if you're okay with it, I can go right into my executive director's report.
Go ahead.
I'd like to introduce some new staff. I think we've kept you abreast of all the things we've been doing on the training side, the compliance side, expanding our resources, creating better relationships with all of our partner agencies. So as part of that, we're adding staff. And I'm really proud of this relationship between the Arizona Department of Corrections, Rehabilitation, and Reentry. Director Shin, thank you for your support of this. But last week, or the week before, we brought on Robin McIntyre from his department. He is a compliance specialist. As you know, we oversee training and curriculum for the Department of Corrections Academy, as well as compliance matters and training inspections. Robin will be working with us hand-in-hand with the rest of the compliance specialists doing that on behalf of the Department of Corrections, Rehabilitation, and Reentry. And it's a partnership between us and the department where they are actually still covering Robin's salary, but he'll be working here full-time. So I think it's a win-win for both Arizona Post and for the Department of Corrections. So, again, Robin, we're happy to have you. He's jumped right in. I know I think he was already out doing an audit the other day, so he's hit the ground running. We couldn't be more happy. So thank you, Director, for supporting that partnership.
Thank you for the opportunity, Matt.
Gino Duran, I see you in the front row there. Gino is our new, Mark always calls him an advocate, but he's an attorney from the Attorney General's Office. He'll be handling all of your cases, and he'll be litigating those. So Gino comes to us in his former life. He was a deputy with the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. Mm-hmm. Then he decided for some strange reason to go to law school, and now he has joined the Arizona Attorney General's Office. So we're really excited to have him. He's got a great wealth of knowledge, and he's going to be a really good addition. And I know Mark's happy to have a comrade here in the office to help handle cases. So, again, We're really excited about that. And then going into compliance, I talked about some changes and some additions. We have a lot of cases, and I think you all know that, and we're really trying to handle those as quickly and as efficiently as possible. So in doing that, in talking with Ben Henry and all the other managers, we decided to split compliance. We've always had one compliance manager. We've had 6 to 7 compliance specialists. What we're doing now is we've added an additional compliance manager. So we moved Mike G. Marino over from admin to compliance. And then we're going to add 2 additional compliance specialists. So we'll have 2 teams, 2 compliance specialists, or managers, each having 4 compliance specialists. What it does is it shrinks the number of agencies each compliance specialist is responsible for, which makes us more responsive and more able to handle cases more expeditiously. I'm really excited about that. Darcy Nichols, who we brought on several months ago on our training side, she's moving over to our compliance side of the house. She'll be a compliance specialist. And then we're in the process of bringing on another compliance specialist who hopefully will start the end of this month, the 26th. So we're really excited. I won't announce her until it's official, but we're really excited to bring her on. And then, again, I think we'll be able to provide a better level of service to our partner agencies. Going to our training side of the house, again, we're doing a lot more training. As you all know, we've done all of our leadership classes. We're hosting a lot of instructor classes. Really excited about that. But again, to do that right, we felt like we had to add additional staff. So what we did was historically, training was split between basic and advanced. About a year ago, we compressed those. When we had someone leave our office, we compressed it under Mandy Faust, and she did a phenomenal job. But again, we're doing so much, it just became a lot for one person to handle. So we're going to split those again. Mandy is going to the advanced training side of the house. And Lori Waite, she's been a compliance specialist. She was a training specialist. She's phenomenal at what she does. We've elevated her. It'll be effective beginning of next month. She's going to be a program. It's called a program administrator, but she'll be the basic training, basically, manager. And she will run the basic training curriculum and everything else that goes along with it. In addition to that, we're going to add one person to each one of those sides of the houses to help, again, bolster what we've already been doing, again, just to make sure we offer that really high level of service to all of our partner agencies. And we're still in the process. We have some people identified. They're going through the process now. And, again, I won't identify them until it's official, but we've got some really good talent that we're going to bring on board that is really just going to continue to push forward the mission that Mandy and her team started over a year ago now. So really excited about that. Just a couple other things. Training, we did recreate, under Mandy's leadership, we recreated the Basic Leadership Academy. As to date, Ron Bain has trained more than 200 people around the state in that curriculum, which is really well received. In addition, he trained a class of future trainers. So now, after that class, they are now shadowing him when he trains, when their schedules allow. And ultimately, we'll have a whole cadre of people that are able to go around the state and teach that Basic Leadership Academy curriculum. We're really excited about that. A couple other things. Ron will be putting on a 4-hour training. Arizona Post is always responsible for a 4-hour training at the Summit in Flagstaff in July. And Ron Bain will be doing an overview for all the chiefs and sheriffs of all of our leadership training. He'll be giving you a snapshot of what all 3 of those different training programs look like, so you have an idea of what your folks are getting when they go to those different classes. I think it'll be really well received. A couple other things. Rulemaking, as you know, you gave us permission to seek an exemption from the rulemaking moratorium. We have received that. We've already received all of the staff input on things we'd like to see change in the rules. Mike G. Marino is working really hard on that. He's created a really, really good document, and now he'll be working with a consultant that the board hires to push forward that rulemaking process, and we'll start that process. She jokes it's like having a baby. It takes about 9 months, so we're starting that process now, and hopefully we'll see that come to fruition, hopefully the first part of 2022. And then as we get closer and we start pushing out those documents, I'll provide an update to the board on what rules we are actually changing. And then finally, under rulemaking, again, Mike G. Marino worked really hard on our 5-year review. I talked about it a couple meetings ago. Every 5 years, we have to review our rules. Mike put that together with our consultant. We've sent that in to GIRC. He attended a virtual meeting, and to my understanding, it's all been approved. So we're in a really good position. But again, that is a tedious very detail-oriented job, and Mike's done a phenomenal job doing it. So, again, he was a big steal from the Phoenix Police Department.
It's a whole bunch of steals from Phoenix PD, sir. Sorry, Mr. Chairman. Love y'all.
A couple other things. I think I talked about it last month. I'm back on the Constable Ethics Standards and Training Board. We've had two meetings. As you know, your rules oversee a little bit of that for the constables. It's a really good board. It's a really good makeup, and I'm excited to be that now that our meetings no longer conflict, I'm really excited to be able to be part of that again and push that mission forward. Colorado City Marshal's Office, as you know, historically, they've had a lot of issues, a lot of concerns. We've had a lot of cases. They're under federal court oversight over some things. But I just wanted to recognize that Marshal Rob Radley came in 2018. He was hired in 2018. In 2019, he became the marshal. And he's done a lot of really good things. He's really done a lot of innovative stuff. He's made some inroads in the community. Deputies have left. He's hired new deputies to create new lifeblood in his organization. But I've been talking to him since his appointment in 2019, and I actually went up there. I told him I'd come up and visit him. They redid their station, so I went up end of last month, and spent a day with him. And I got to tour the entire community. I got to talk to some community members while we were out and about. I got to talk to some of his staff members, see his new facility. And he's doing amazing things. And again, oftentimes people always want to look at the history of that organization and kind of think disparagingly of them. But I can tell you right now, firsthand from being boots on the ground, he is doing a phenomenal job. And I just wanted to publicly recognize the work he's doing and the work that the men, and hopefully when I was up there, he was meeting with a future applicant who was a female. It would be their first female applicant. So again, I just wanted to publicly recognize the board know that we work with all of our partner agencies, but I would hold him very high in high regard now for all the hard work that he's done in that community for the benefit of that community and that agency. So, again, I'll get off my soapbox, but, again, it was a really good visit. I got a lot out of it, and I can look forward to continuing to work with Rob as he continues to expand that agency and bring them up to a world-class police organization. Finally, I attended the NARDA graduation. Officer Medina had the privilege, I don't know, the pain of having to watch me give the keynote address to the group. But it was a really good group, and I know I've said this before, but if you haven't been to an academy graduation in a while, it really does re-energizes you for police work. Just seeing how excited they are, what they went through, it just really is good. So if you haven't been to an academy graduation in a while, I encourage you to go to one. And then the last thing I'll talk about is Chief Williams. We are gathering data for you. Reference the DUI subcommittee. We'll have that to you hopefully before the meeting next month, and I know you wanted to convene those meetings in early August. So we're getting that for you so you can have a productive first meeting with that, a good starting point. And Mr. Chairman, with that, I'll end my executive director's report, but I'd be happy to answer any questions the board might have.
Any questions for the director?
So, Mr. Chairman, I don't have any questions, just a couple of remarks. So because the Arizona Post is really taking a deeper dive into what's going on in the state with our police officers and deputies, your idea, Matt and Mandy and Ben and Mike and everybody else from Phoenix, is just a good idea to start splitting things up because it seems like the workload is increasing for us in a good way, but it's very smart for you to take the opportunity to increase things. And the Basic Leadership Academy, I'm getting rave reviews from my employees who've attended that. They are all coming back energized as a result of that class, but really wanting to share the experience. So thank you all for that also. Thank you.
And just so you know, Chief, we do a Survey Monkey at the end of each one of those classes. And it's, as you all know, sometimes peace officers aren't as over willing to put in written comments. Right. But it's not uncommon for us to get written comments in addition to the numerical scoring for every attendee of those classes. So, yeah, we agree. Right. It's getting rave reviews. And, Mandy, thank you for your leadership on that project. And Ron Bain for the instruction, because that's a really big component of it. Because, again, with the right curriculum, the wrong instructor, it'll fall flat.
Right.
And we happen to have a really good instructor teaching a really good curriculum.
Good stuff.
Thank you, Chief. A couple comments here. Matt, Robin, welcome aboard. Gino. And Robin, welcome aboard. Welcome to the team. We look forward to working with you. And on a humble note to our director, you were nominated for the Western Regional as the tell us more about it. Tell everybody. I know you're humbled with it, but I want
to technically, I think the nomination will come out on Friday. But, yeah, I am part of IATALYST. It's the International Association of Directors of Law Enforcement Standards and Training. It's not easy to say. But I've been attending Western meetings since my appointment here. And in our meeting in Carson City back in May, the current representative for the Western region is from Montana. He's retiring in the near future. So he nominated me to take his place. So I will attend actually a meeting of all the directors of Adalist on Friday virtually, and where my nomination will be presented as taking over that position. So I'll be the Western representative for Adalist from the director standpoint. So it's a really good opportunity for me to engage with my peers from around the country.
And representing Arizona. Congratulations, Director. Well, good choice.
I appreciate it.
Anything else from the members?
Just one other question. Public reaction to the new academy curriculum?
Yep. We were able to work with the Arizona Republic, and they were very interested in our new curriculum. And they covered a story, and it was really, really well done. It was a fair article. It really took a deep dive into it. And Sheriff Rhodes, thank you for allowing Nate Ovenshine from NARDA. He's a commander with captain with the Yavapai County Sheriff's Office. And then Paul Fenzone allowed Mike Puente, a sergeant with MCSO, to speak, because after they interviewed me, referenced the basic academy curriculum, I suggested it'd be really nice for you to talk to an academy director as well as a defensive tactics subject matter expert. Because again, as you know, most of our the largest portion of our basic academy curriculum rewrite was in defensive tactics. I thought it was, I sent it to you, it was a really, really well-written article, very fair, and I think it shows that the board is taking a proactive approach into updating and evolving police training statewide.
I thought Director Giordano did a fantastic job leading the reporter through the article and through the updates and the reasoning behind it, and it came off really well, so thank you for that.
Oh, thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Any other comments? Okay, moving on. Agenda item number D, consent agenda. You all got a chance to review that. If you have and there's no discussion, I'll call for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, I move to accept the consent agenda as proposed.
Thank you, Chief. Do I have a second?
Mr. Chairman, Chief Oskis, I second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Agenda item number E. Back to you, Matt, for the 21-22 fiscal year budget for April.
All right, I will jump into the budget. You all have the documents in front of you, have the complete budget, but let me just give you some highlights and some snapshots and some backstory. As you all know, the legislature has not approved a budget yet. So as we're getting near the end of the year, we thought it prudent to present a budget to you based on the appropriated funding that is currently set forth in the governor's proposed budget. The caveat being is that this is all subject to change. Should the budget not be approved as proposed, we'll have to go back and make a change to this, and we'd bring it to a future meeting. I am hopeful, and I'm knocking on wood, that this will come to fruition, that the budget will be approved as proposed, and we won't have to come back and make any modifications. So that being said, if you look at your budget, you see two revenue streams. We exist almost exclusively off of CJEF funding. So court criminal justice enhancement funds. We had a really good May, so we actually met our yearly projections. We budget $400,000 a month out of CJEF funding for our budget. We are currently about $409,000 for fiscal year 21. So we're pretty happy about that, because with the pandemic, we weren't sure where that was going to go, but we feel pretty good about that. So going into the budget, if you look, the biggest change from last year, and if you look at the documents, it talks about the budget is pretty much similar. It's very similar based off last year's budget. We didn't make many changes. I talked about a couple of additional positions that we're adding, so you'll see those in there. We are normally married to the Department of Public Safety. So the governor's current proposed budget includes a 10% rate, or salary, they call it a salary adjustment, for all DPS employees. And we're going to mirror, with your permission and your approval, we're going to mirror that for Arizona Post employees. And again, we can afford to do that out of our current projected revenues and our current cash on hand, our balance on hand. But if you look at that first page, the budget summary, you see that moving forward as of July 1st, we'll be carrying a balance of about $3.4 million, which could be a little startling at first. That's a lot of money to carry over. And for those of you who don't operate in a CGF funds, you operate in appropriated funding, there's no carryovers. We're allowed to carry this funding over. And I can tell you, as you, and I'm sure you all know, in 2008, with the economic downturn, Arizona Post had to become really, really lean. Lynn, our budget analyst, and I joke all the time, there were times where she was worried she wouldn't be able to pay the light bill. So we have carried a little bit higher of a budget, carried money over every year, just almost like as a rainy day fund. We're just a little bit worried that we might have to incur something like that again. We're fairly comfortable. We've had a couple years of good cycles. We're fairly comfortable that we'll have a continuing budget. So we're going to try to, and if you look at the final budget expected in the end of this upcoming fiscal year, it's down below $2 million. So it's a more manageable, a more reasonable number. The biggest thing, I think, if you look at it closely, you'll notice is our projected income for the year is, we'll be, in essence, we'll be spending a little bit more money than we'll be bringing in this year. And that's due to the new additional personnel. Every year in September, I provide and I submit a budget proposal to the state for that appropriated funding. Historically, we've always only asked for money to reimburse academies. So we ask for money to reimburse academies $2,500 per successful graduate. This year, I'm going to actually ask for some personnel coverage as well on top of that, because I think everyone recognizes we're doing more work, and it's not going to slow down. We're going to continue to do more work, and to provide that higher level of service, we're going to need additional funding. So I will be putting in a budget request, with your approval, of course, for the state to get us to ask for additional appropriated funding next year to actually start covering some of our actual personnel costs. But again, if you look at the budget, if you have any specific questions, it'll look very similar to last year's. But even with the additional spending, with our current budget forecast, we're still looking to carry forward a budget next fiscal year of just shy of $2 million, which in my opinion is a very healthy budget for us. And it does allow us that rainy day fund should something happen to our CGF funding, because, again, it's variable. If you look at the month-to-month, it varies fairly significantly. And if we had several months of a decline, it would cause us some consternation. So that's why we want to. That's why we carry a little bit higher of a balance from year to year, to offset anything that may happen there. But with that, again, there's not many other changes, and I'm happy to answer any questions the board might have reference or related to our budget.
Thank you, Director. Any questions? There are none. I'll entertain a motion. This needs to be a tentative in the wording.
I think we could just make a. Mark, correct me wrong. We could just make a normal motion, a normal approval, and then should we have to come back, we just make an amendment in a future meeting if the budget's not approved.
This is Mark Brechtel. Yes.
So we just make a normal motion would be fine.
I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chief Hoskins, I move that fiscal year 2021-22 Arizona Post budget be approved as presented.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, David Rhodes, I will second.
Thank you, Sheriff. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next agenda item, item number F, Clifton PD petition. Mr. Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a petition by the Clifton Police Department. The applicant is Ethan Klontz. During the hiring process, it was learned that Mr. Klontz had committed property crimes. The background disclosed that these property crimes occurred when Mr. Klontz was 18 years old and living in Colorado, and this was in 2013. Specifically, Mr. Klontz took firearms from a residential garage, and in a different incident, he took lumber from a fenced commercial yard. His conduct is disqualifying conduct under your rules, specifically Rule 109A7. Although, I'm sorry, 109A7 states in part that a cause for denial includes committing an offense that would be a felony if committed in this state. And although Mr. Klontz pled to two misdemeanors in Colorado, the elements of those offenses would be felonies under Arizona law. What this means is that the board should analyze this petition under Rule 103G and weigh Mr. Klontz's actions. An executive officer from Clifton PD, I believe, is present remotely. And, I believe it's Chief Negrete. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brackley. Chief, are you on there? Can you hear us?
See him.
So sure he's muted.
Is that mute button? Chief.
Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, I can hear you. Chief, good morning. The floor
good
is
morning, yours. Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay, good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members of the board. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to come before you, and I'd like to thank your staff, the director, and Billy in helping us out with this petition. So as the director has stated, Mr. Klontz applied for us at the beginning of this year. So the whole process, Mr. Klontz did not at any point try to be deceitful. When he turned his application in, he provided us with documentation from the court's paperwork in regards to the crimes that he has committed. One thing that I have that I noticed, you know, in my time being a chief, is that Arizona has some of the strictest some of the best qualifications, some of the strictest ones, and I think that's something to be proud of. Now, the reason that I come before you is because I believe that Mr. Klontz would be a great addition to the police department, the community, and to everybody around us. Whenever Mr. Klontz committed these crimes, he was 18 years of age, and this occurred within that year. Since then, he has turned his life around. He has moved to Arizona. He's been employed with a local security company here in Safford, about 45 minutes away, and he has contributed greatly to change his life around. I do appreciate that, you know, regardless of, you know, the crimes that he committed, that he's still trying to pursue his career and being law enforcement. And so with that being said, that is why I'm here before you to consider that and a waiver in the rest of Mr. Klontz. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions for Chief? Hearing none. Thank you again, Chief.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Chairman, may I ask one question of our attorney? So has the post board ever overruled something like this before? So in reading it, the sheer fact that guns were taken and other things at the age of 18 is still very concerning to me.
This is Mark Bracto, Chief Williams. Prior cases where the board has weighed a waiver request for past criminal conduct, on occasion the board has granted the petition for waiver, and on other occasions the board has not. The board has looked at the time, has looked at the severity of the crime, and ultimately applied the standards in 103G, or the best interests of law enforcement served, and the public's welfare. And so there are decisions on both sides.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments, or interaction between board members regarding this case? This is the opportunity. I'll say it's unique from my experience on the board, the fact that you have three different incidents all in the firearm. Chief, I agree with you on that. That's concerning. 8 years is not a lot. I'm a little concerned about the time. I'll just say that as based on my experience on this board. So I will yield back to you all as members.
Mr. Chairman, my concern also, besides echoing you guys, is that if we allow him to become a police officer and he goes out to work and he gets into a major incident, and the first thing that the news media gets into is background, mm-hmm. and they would have a field day with this. And that makes me uncomfortable. And we're trying to do everything we can to lift ourselves up above all the negativity and to shine law enforcement in a positive light. And I can just see a loose media getting hold of this and going crazy.
Thank you, Chief. Well stated. Any other further comments?
Jamie Kelly, I have a question.
Jamie, go ahead.
If the board was to deny this petition today in, say, 5 years or 10 years, if the applicant shows that he's still doing good, could he come back and reapply and they reapply for a petition, or is this a permanent denial?
This is Mark Brechtel. So this petition is a formal request. And if the board elects to votes to deny it, the petition can be presented to the board at a later time with the benefit of time. And in fact, in some prior decisions of the board has recommended that the applicant take additional time and continue to grow and mature. And at a later time, we have had cases in front of the board when there's been a new petition filed. So the answer to your question is yes, it can be refiled at a later time if it is denied today.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Jamie, any follow-up on that?
No. I would like to make a statement that I encourage this individual to stay on the right path and know that our decision, whatever it is today, is not a final statement. So with that, I move that the board deny the petition by the Clifton Police Department on this applicant.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Do I have a second?
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, second.
Second by the chief. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I would just add that I do agree with the motion, and however, it's very difficult. You know, these rural agencies are doing the best that they can to recruit people, and I think that this is indicative of a bigger issue when we have to start weakening the standards for policing overall so that we can provide service, especially in rural Arizona. I appreciate the position that the chief is in, and I also appreciate that the young man is willing to step forward and go through this process, has been open and honest, transparent about what's happened. But ultimately, I believe 8 years and a residential burglary of firearms is just not enough time. And I just can't support that. And so those are my comments.
Thank you, Sheriff. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed?
Aye.
Thank you, Lisa. All opposed signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Chief. Final action cases. Item number G, first case 20-066, consent agreement. Mr. Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Mark Brechtel. And just a reminder for the board members, on the next six cases, they are all consent agreements. And in all of them, I am acting as the advocate on behalf of post staff. I'll be presenting why the consent agreement should be considered by the board. Because of that, Ms. Galvin is here as your independent advisor for all of your legal questions, when and if you have any. So in this case, Mr. Blout, post staff and Mr. Blout offer the attached consent agreement for your review and consideration. He is a former trooper with DPS who was terminated by DPS in March of 2020. Mr. Blout used his work computer while on duty to assess suspicious information for personal reasons. The parties stipulate that his actions violate post rules, specifically Rule 109A7. The parties propose that the board impose a 12-month suspension beginning March 12, 2020 and ending March 12, 2021. This proposed discipline is within the range of discipline for similar misconduct.
Thank you, Mr. Brechtel. Comments from board? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, I move to accept the proposed consent agreement for a 12-month suspension of peace officer certification beginning March 12, 2020 to March 12, 2021 for Michael Blout, case number 20-066.
Thank you, Chief. Do I have a second?
David Rhodes.
This is Lisa.
Thank you, Sheriff. Discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, number 20-161, consent agreement. Mr. Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Post staff and the respondent, Mr. Gear, offer the attached consent agreement for your review and consideration. Mr. Gere was a 15-year trooper with DPS when he was terminated on July 17, 2020. Mr. Gere, while off duty, was arrested for extreme DUI. He subsequently pled guilty to extreme DUI. The parties stipulate that Mr. Gere's actions are in violation of post rules, specifically Rule 109A8. The parties propose that the board impose a 12-month suspension beginning July 17, 2020 through July 17, 2021. This proposal of discipline is within the range of similarly situated misconduct.
Thank you, Mr. Brafto. Comments from board members? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chief Oskus, I move to accept a proposed consent agreement for a 12-month suspension of peace officer certification beginning July 17, 2020. To July 17th of 2021 for case number 20-161, Richard Gere.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chair, David Shin.
Second.
Thank you, Director. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next item. 20-173, Mr. Brachtel, under consent agreement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Scott is a former officer with the Gila River Police Department. He was terminated on November 19, 2020. Attached is a proposed consent agreement which post staff and respondent offered for the board's consideration. As far as the background facts, Mr. Scott was working as an officer with Gila River Police Department when he applied with a different agency. It was during that hiring process that he disclosed that he had sexual contact with another in his patrol car, and his patrol car was a marked police vehicle. The parties propose a 6-month suspension beginning November 20th, 2020 and ending May 20th, 2021. Thank you.
Mr. Brachtel, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, Matt Figueroa, I move to accept the proposed consent agreement for a 6-month suspension of peace officer certification beginning November 20, 2020 to May 20, 2021.
Thank you, sir. Do I have a second?
This is Lisa Weiss, I second.
Thank you, Lisa. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 19-064, consent agreement. Mr. Bracker, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Post staff and the respondent, Mr. Hogue, offer the attached consent agreement for your review and consideration. Mr. Hogue retired in 2019 with the Chandler Police Department. He retired with the rank of sergeant. Prior to his retirement, the Chandler Police Department conducted an internal affairs investigation into his off-duty conduct, which occurred on February 19, 2019. While off-duty, Mr. Hogue went to a hotel bar at the Residence Inn in Chandler. He drank vodka and became loud and swore at a bartender who he knew. Mr. Hogue also struck a bar patron in the face. Mr. Hogue admits that his off-duty conduct was not becoming of a Chandler police sergeant, and that is in the consent agreement. The parties stipulate that Mr. Hogue's actions are in violation of post rules, specifically Rule 109, A8, and A12. The parties propose that the board impose a 12-month suspension beginning on April 26, 2021 till April 26, 2022. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brachtel. Comments? Questions? There are none. I entertain a motion.
This is Lisa Weiss. I move to accept the proposed consent agreement for a 12-month suspension of peace officer certification beginning April 26, 2021 to April 26, 2022, at which time certification will lapse.
Thank you, Lisa. Do I hear a second?
Jerry Williams, Mr. Chairman, second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next item, 20-010, consent agreement, Mr. Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Martin is a former Gilbert Police Sergeant who was terminated by the Gilbert Police Department in January of 2020. Attached is a proposed consent agreement which post staff and Mr. Martin offer for the board's review and consideration. The parties stipulate that Mr. Martin sent several nude images of himself to the wife of another. He took these photographs in uniform and at work. The parties also stipulate that Mr. Martin had sexual relations in his unmarked apartment assigned pickup truck while off duty. The parties stipulate that Mr. Martin's actions are in violation of post rules, specifically Rule 109A8 and A12. Parties propose that the board impose a 12-month suspension beginning on January 22, 2020 and ending on January 22, 2021.
Thank you, Mr. Brechtel. Comments, questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chief Oskus, I move to accept a proposed consent agreement for a 12-month suspension of peace officer certification beginning January 22, 2020 to January 22, 2021 for case number 20-010, Robert Martin.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, David Rhodes, I'll second.
Thank you, Sheriff. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 21-013, consent agreement. Mr. Brecker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Karski is a former deputy with the Mojave County Sheriff's Department. He was terminated by Mojave on November 30th, 2020. Attached is a proposed consent agreement which post staff and Mr. Karski offer for the board's consideration. On October 30th, 2020, Mr. Karski punched a hole in a wall at his residence during an argument with his wife. The incident occurred while Mr. Karski was on duty and at a lunch break. Mr. Karski pled guilty to one count of disorderly conduct in justice court, which was a misdemeanor without a domestic violence attribute. He was, however, required to complete counseling. This counseling has been successfully completed. The parties agree that Mr. Karski's actions are in violation of post rules, specifically Rule 109, A8, and A12. The parties propose that the board impose a suspension beginning April 21st, 2021, till November 18th, 2021. This proposal and proposed discipline is within the range of discipline. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brechtel. Questions? Comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, I move to accept the proposed consent agreement for a suspension of peace officer certification beginning April 21st, 2021 to November 18th, 2021 on case number 210113 for Paul Karski.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Chief Boskus, I move second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 21-008, findings of fact. Ms. Hawes. Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Kathy Hawes, one of your compliance specialists. This case involves off-duty Tucson Police Department officer Anthony Flores. Flores was arrested for misdemeanor DUI by TPD the evening of April 11, 2020, and had a blood alcohol content of 0.156, which elevated this to an extreme DUI. He was presented with a notice of intent to terminate his employment. However, he chose to medically retire. A consent agreement was sent to Flores on April 2nd, 2021. He agreed to the proposed suspension date. He signed and returned the agreement on April 12th, 2021. However, the copy he returned seemed to have been taken with a cell phone, and it was really poor quality. Several attempts were made to reach Mr. Flores to have him send a better quality copy. However, to date, he has not responded. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board impose a 12-month suspension of certification from November 30th, 2020 to November 30th, 2021, inclusive, which was what Mr. Flores agreed to in a signed consent agreement on April 12th, 2021. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Hawes. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Matt Figueroa, I move to suspend Mr. Flores' peace officer certification for 12 months beginning November 30th, 2020 to November 30th, 2021.
Thank you, sir. Do I have a second?
Mr. Chair, I'll second that. Matt Medina.
Thank you, Matt. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, just one comment. I know that Chief Williams is chairing a new committee on Arizona Post rules regarding DUIs. One of the concerns that have come up, was raised by me and others in prior board meetings, was that this particular, if this officer would not have had a BAC above a 0.15, and he's a 0.156, would not have been mandatory to be reported to Arizona Post, but because of, you know, literally a thousandth, a few thousandths of a percent of a BOC, this person is receiving a 12-month suspension and other people don't come before this board. So I hope that the recommendations of the committee reflect some of those concerns, but at this point I will, I'm going to support this motion.
Thank you, Sheriff. Appreciate your comments. Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 20-208, findings of fact, Mr. Toporek.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. This final action case involves former Tempe Police Officer Jordan Redd. This matter was originally presented to the board on March 17, 2021, at which time the board voted to initiate proceedings. The issue before the board today is to determine whether to accept, reject, or modify the findings of facts and conclusions of law impose a sanction if appropriate. The findings of facts are, on or about September 13, 2020, off-duty officer Jordan Redd was arrested for extreme DUI, 0.20 or above, and other DUI-related offenses after being stopped for traffic offenses by the Gilbert Police Department. During the course of the DUI investigation, Redd submitted to a portable breath test, which resulted in a 0.256 BAC reading. Additionally, Redd submitted to blood alcohol testing, which revealed a 0.228% BAC. On March 22, 2021, a copy of the initial complaint was that the board had initiated was mailed to the address of record for Mr. Redd via regular U.S. mail and certified mail. The correspondence was accepted and signed for by Redd on March 24, 2021. To date, Mr. Redd has not requested a hearing or made contact with both staff. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board suspend the peace officer certification of Mr. Redd for a period of 12 months, starting when the board first initiated proceedings on March 17, 2021 through March 17, 2022. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Board. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, David Rhodes, I move to suspend Mr. Redd's peace officer certification for 12 months beginning March 17, 2021 to March 17, 2022.
Thank you, Sheriff. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chair, David Shin, second.
Thank you, Director. Any further questions? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 19-170, findings of fact. Mr. Dvorak, back to you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this final action case involves former Arizona Department of Public Safety Trooper Renee Algara. This matter was originally presented to the board on March 17, 2021, at which time the board voted to initiate proceedings. The issue before the board today is to determine whether to accept, reject, or modify the findings of fact and the conclusion of law and impose a sanction if appropriate. The findings of fact are, on or about August 26, 2005, Renee Algara willfully provided false information to the United States Citizenship and Immigration Service when being interviewed concerning his application for U.S. citizenship. On or about March 16, 2012, Renee Algara willfully provided false information to the City of Douglas Police Department in connection with his application for employment. On or about May 22, 2015, Renee Algara willfully made false or misleading statements to the Arizona Police Officers Standards and Training Board by providing false written information on required AZ Post documents. On or about May 22, 2015, Renee Algara willfully provided false information to the Department of Public Safety in connection with his application for employment. And on or about January 24, 2019, Algara intentionally included false information in an official Department of Public Safety departmental report. On March 22, 2021, a copy of the initial complaint initiated by the board was mailed to the address of record for Mr. Algara. No response has been received from Mr. Algara, and I have also mailed other correspondence to him and have not received any reply. I am unaware of any attempt by Mr. Algara to contact AZ Post to request a hearing in this matter. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board revoke the peace officer certification of Mr. Algara, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Dvorak. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, I move to revoke Mr. Algara's peace officer certification for case number 19-170.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman.
This is Lisa Weiss. Second.
Okay. Thank you to both. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Last final action case, 20-214, findings of fact. Mr. Tripork, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This final action case involves former Fort Mojave Tribal Police Department Officer Juan Espinoza. This matter was originally presented to the board on March 17, 2021, at which time the board voted to initiate proceedings. On or about December 13, 2020, off-duty officer Juan Espinoza was arrested for extreme DUI, 0.20 or above, and other DUI-related offenses after being stopped for traffic offenses by Bullhead City Police Department. During the course of the DUI investigation, Espinoza submitted to breath testing on an intoxilizer 8000, which resulted in a BAC reading of 0.199 and 0.208. On March 31st, 2021, Mr. Espinoza entered into a plea agreement in the Bullhead City Municipal Court, pleading guilty to one count of extreme DUI over 0.10, and the other charges were dismissed. On March 22, 2021, a copy of the initial complaint initiated by the board was mailed to the address of record for Mr. Espinoza via U.S. mail and certified mail. The correspondence was returned to Arizona Post undelivered with a comment, "Return to sender, unable to forward." I conducted a computerized record search for possible addresses for Mr. Espinoza and discovered another possible address. The AZ Post items were mailed to that address but also returned undeliverable. To date, I am unaware of any attempt by Mr. Espinoza to contact AZ Post to request a hearing in this matter. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board suspend the peace officer certification of Mr. Espinoza for a period of 12 months, starting when the board first initiated proceedings on March 17, 2021 through March 17, 2022. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Dvorak. Comments, questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chris Voskis. I move to suspend Mr. Espinosa's peace officer certification for 12 months, beginning March 17th, 2021 to March 17th, 2022, case number 20-214.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, David Renzo, second.
Thank you, Cheryl. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Moving on to agenda item H, new cases. First case is item number 320-186. Mr. Delton.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Mike Delton, one of your compliance specialists. My first case involves former Maricopa police officer Mario Palacios. On August 19, 2020, former Maricopa police officer Darby Wentworth disclosed that while she was an officer in training and assigned to a field training officer, Mario Palacios, she saw Officer Palacios receive a bottle of whiskey at the Native Grill and Wings restaurant in Maricopa while they were both on duty and in full police uniforms. Officer Wentworth said they drove to the Native Grill restaurant in town and went inside before the establishment was open. Officer Wentworth said Officer Palacios knows all the staff at the restaurant, and when they entered the establishment, she used the restroom. When she came out of the restroom, she noticed that Officer Palacios was at the cash register and in her interpretation, purchasing something. Officer Wentworth said she then saw that he had purchased a bottle of whiskey from the restaurant and placed it into a paper bag. She asked Officer Palacios what the item was, and he stated, "You did not see anything." Officer Wentworth said they left the restaurant, got into their patrol car. She said that Palacios then placed the bottle of whiskey into his duty bag of some type, and she did not see it again. Officer Wentworth then said she saw Officer Palacios, or did not see Officer Palacios drink any of the whiskey while on duty. On September 2nd of 2020, Sergeant Colt Homan of Maricopa PD conducted an internal interview post-Garrity with Officer Palacios regarding this allegation. Officer Palacios, after he read the allegations by Officer Wentworth, said that he does frequent the restaurant as his fiance worked there. However, he said he has never purchased or possessed any alcohol at the restaurant or anywhere while he was on duty. On October 7th of 2020, Palacios was interviewed by Sergeant Homan and Lieutenant Elliott a second time post-Garrity, when Palacios said that after his initial interview that he did recall that he did receive a comped or free unopened bottle of bourbon from the manager at Native Grill restaurant. He said that it was not until he spoke and texted with his fiance after that first interview that she set him straight, and he did remember then picking up alcohol while on duty with his officer in training, but that he did not purchase it. Allegations against Officer Palacios, including untruthfulness, concealing or misrepresenting material facts, and unsatisfactory job performance, were sustained by the Maricopa Police Department. On October 30th of 2020, Officer Palacios resigned his employment in lieu of termination. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any of your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Dalton. Comments, questions?
Mr. Chairman, I just have just a quick comment. It takes a lot for an OIT to share that information with, I guess it's her sergeant. So I think Officer Wentworth should be commended. I know it's very uncomfortable for her, I'm sure. But if we could make sure some kind of way she hears that, I think that's very important. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Well stated. Any other comments, questions? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, David Rhodes, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Palacios' peace officer certification.
Thank you, Cheryl. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, David Shin, second.
Thank you, Director. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 21-053. Mr. Delton, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, before you begin, I will not be participating. I need to recuse myself.
Thank you, Chief. It'll be noted. Back to you, Mr. Dalton.
Absolutely. This next case involves current Phoenix Police Lieutenant Brian Thatcher. On October 1st of 2016, Ms. SW contacted on-duty patrol lieutenant Brian Thatcher and alleged that she was held against her will and sexually assaulted by her live-in boyfriend, off-duty Phoenix Police Sergeant Leroy Potter, at their residence. Lieutenant Thatcher audio recorded their conversation, and Ms. SW can be heard telling Lieutenant Thatcher 12 times that Sergeant Potter handcuffed her hands and feet together and held her against her will for several hours. Ms. SW asked Lieutenant Thatcher approximately 15 times to collect physical evidence from the home of Sergeant Potter, including damaged handcuffs and a digital recorder utilized during the incident. Ms. SW told Lieutenant Thatcher, "When I was telling him, quote unquote, when I was telling him, Sergeant Potter, to stop, he told me that I wasn't allowed to wear my clothes, my hands were cuffed, and my feet were cuffed." Ms. SW told Lieutenant Thatcher that Potter finally had to cut the handcuffs off because he did not have the key. Ms. SW then asked Lieutenant Thatcher, "I'm asking you right now, would you please go and get those cut handcuffs? I'm asking you to arrest him. I asked him to stop." Lieutenant Thatcher then asked, quote, "Well, okay, how would we establish that?" Ms. SW said, "The recording," referring to the digital recording contained on Sergeant Potter's recording device. Lieutenant Thatcher explained to Ms. SW, "You guys are having sex, rough sex, it sounds like, and then handcuffs are used." Ms. SW interjected and said, "Sergeant Potter put the handcuffs on her." Thatcher then said he removes them, quote, "he removes them," referring to Sergeant Potter, but maybe that was part of the, Ms. SW interrupted his statement and said, "No, I said stop, take them off because I was crying, they were hurting." Lieutenant Thatcher responded and said, "He took them off, though, is what you," and then she stopped him again. Ms. SW interjected and said, "No, he did not." Lieutenant Thatcher said, "You told me that he took them off." Ms. SW explained to Lieutenant Thatcher, "That's what I'm saying. Get the recordings. He took them off hours later." Lieutenant Thatcher said, "And in the preceding 48 to 72 hours, you have not done anything to initiate any type of criminal investigation until this point, in which you've now been served with an order of protection." Ms. SW replied, "Go, please get the cuffs. I'm begging you. Just at least do not get that, let that stuff get destroyed." Lieutenant Thatcher conveyed to Ms. SW, "Okay, I don't have a legal basis to go and search his residence at this point." Lieutenant Thatcher did not address Ms. SW's criminal allegations and did not arrange to impound any potential evidence. This inaction allegedly jeopardized the outcome of criminal investigation. Additionally, Lieutenant Thatcher did not initially relay the details of the allegations of criminal conduct to the special investigations detail or his chain of command after his first discussion with Ms. SW. Lieutenant Thatcher also submitted a Blue Team internal departmental report with inaccurate or incomplete information. He did not include possible criminal acts nor the victim's request for a criminal investigation in his first conversation with the PSP sergeant or his commander, nor did he complete the initial Blue Team entry with that same information. Phoenix PD did not sustain untruthfulness. The criminal investigation regarding Ms. SW's allegation against Sergeant Potter was eventually submitted to the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, who declined prosecution due to no reasonable likelihood of conviction. The internal investigative finding was one sustained violation against Lieutenant Thatcher that he neglected his duties by failing to properly investigate a criminal allegation made against a Phoenix Police Department employee. On April 12, 2017, Lieutenant Thatcher was suspended for 120 hours or 3 weeks without pay. Lieutenant Thatcher served his suspension and returned to work with the Phoenix Police Department. I will note that we didn't receive this information until March of this year, and I was directed by the Director Giordano to create a case here. I'm not sure about the time delay. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiates proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any of your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Dalton. Comments, questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, David Rhodes, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Thatcher's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Sheriff. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Matt Figueroa, second.
Thank you, Matt. Any further discussion?
Hearing none, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 20-143. Mr. Delton, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This next case involves former Maricopa Police Sergeant Mary Turner. On December 5th, 2019, Commander Mike Campbell approached Sergeant Mary Turner while she was seated at her desk and placed documents contained in an envelope on her desk. He then asked her to sign them and walked away. Later that same day, Sergeant Turner requested a meeting with the City of Maricopa Chief Human Resource Officer Fernanda Osgood, where Sergeant Turner reported that Commander Campbell threw some documents at her and asked her to sign them. Sergeant Turner explained that Commander Campbell had walked over to her desk and threw the documents at her. Sergeant Turner said she felt disrespected by this, and the actions from Commander Campbell were very demeaning and rude towards her. Commander Campbell disputed Sergeant Turner's version of this and said he placed the paperwork on her desk and did not throw them at her. After being interviewed by the HR officer, Sergeant Turner was interviewed post-Garrity by an outside contracted investigator regarding this and several other allegations that she made towards members of the Maricopa Police Department. During this interview, Sergeant Turner was shown a video, which has no audio, which had recorded the interaction between Commander Campbell and her. This video clearly shows Commander Campbell placing the envelope containing documents onto Sergeant Turner's desk and not throwing them at her. After being shown this video, and in spite of clear and objective video evidence to the contrary, Sergeant Turner continued to insist that Commander Campbell threw the envelope at her, which she claimed was conduct unbecoming on the commander's part. Sergeant Turner also stated Commander Campbell could have been more delicate with her, knowing that where she was at the time. She had just returned to work after serving a two-day suspension for an unrelated matter. Sergeant Turner said that her belief was that, and her interpretation was that Commander Campbell threw the envelope at her, not like a baseball, but if a person needs something to sign, something you just do not lay it there and sign this. That was a quote. The outside investigator determined that there was clear evidence that the envelope was never thrown at Sergeant Turner, and Sergeant Turner provided untruthful information of what happened and falsely accused Commander Campbell of throwing the envelope at her and treating her like a dog, as Sergeant Turner had previously alleged in her complaint. Now, I do have the video. They're two real quick videos, about 15 seconds each, no audio on there. It was a fixed camera in the office setting that will show you exactly what transpired. Sure. And so, Dale, if you could play that video now. Go to the videos. Thanks. Thanks, Dale. That first video was really what depicted the incident. I just wanted to show you both of them since they sent them both to us. The Maricopa Chief of Police recommended Sergeant Turner be terminated from employment with the Maricopa Police Department. Sergeant Turner resigned in lieu of termination. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Elton. Any comments, questions? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chris Voskis, I move to initiate proceedings against Ms. Turner's peace officer certification, case number 20-143.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 21-054. Mr. Dalton, back to you.
Mr. Chairman, I'll need to not participate in this case. I recuse myself.
Let it be noted. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My last case for today involves current Phoenix Police Officer Paul Vogler. On August 15, 2019, Officer Paul Vogler and his wife, Ms. S.V., were involved in a heated dispute over their son, which caused a response by the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, or MCSO. Ms. SV alleged Officer Vogler put her in a chokehold during a physical struggle. Bless you.
Thank you.
During this incident, their son was recorded on video crying and saying, "Daddy choked me." The responding deputies investigated this claim. However, Officer Vogler denied that he choked his son and provided the explanation that he grabbed him by the shoulders and made him sit down to eat his food. No charges were filed on this. On October 17, 2019, Professional Standards Bureau with Phoenix PD, or PSB, investigators learned that Officer Vogler failed to notify his supervisor of the domestic dispute and subsequent police contact in the investigation. PSB investigators reviewed an email forwarded to them from MCSO to Phoenix PD. Officer Vogler later admitted that he failed to notify a supervisor about that situation. During that internal investigation, PSB investigators learned that Ms. SV disclosed another incident of domestic violence to the detectives in the employee assistance unit. Ms. SV said that another assault took place on May 26, 2019. She reported that Officer Vogler punched her in the face and it caused injury to her lip and mouth. Ms. SV did not initially report the assault to MCSO. However, she took pictures of her injuries soon after the incident, which documented injuries to her mouth and lip. Approximately 2 weeks after the assault occurred, Ms. SV surreptitiously recorded her and Officer Vogler arguing about that assault on May 26, during which Officer Vogler made a reference to punching Ms. SV. During both the criminal and administrative investigations, Officer Vogler denied that he assaulted Ms. SV and stated she was injured when their son kicked her. MCSO detectives submitted charges for a Class 1 misdemeanor assault against Officer Vogler, domestic violence, and Officer Vogler was eventually convicted and sentenced to probation after a trial. PSB investigators interviewed Officer Vogler post-Garrity on April 1, 2020, prior to that conviction, and he adamantly denied the allegation that he punched Ms. SV. Officer Vogler said repeatedly to the investigators that she made or mentioned something about roughhousing with the kids. He denied seeing the injury happen and could not recall which child would have caused the injury. During Officer Vogler's second PSB interview and after reviewing the initial PSB interview, it appeared that Officer Vogler misled PSB investigators and provided untruthful statements. Officer Vogler continuously stated that he did not assault Ms. SV and said he was not trying to mislead investigators. The allegation that Officer Vogler committed assault and failed to notify his supervisor that he had been involved in a criminal investigation, both were sustained at Phoenix PD. All other allegations were unresolved, and Officer Vogler was served with a 40-hour suspension on April 20th of 2021 and served that suspension from May 3rd to the 7th this year. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Dalton. Comments, questions? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Matt Figueroa, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Vogler's peace officer certification.
Thank you, sir. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, David Rhodes, I'll second.
Thank you, Cheryl. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 20-119, Hawes. Over to you.
This case involves former Tucson Police Department Sergeant Vinicius De Cruz. This investigation began originally around July 2019 with complaints in the division where De Cruz worked from officers, peers, and command staff that he was leaving work early, failing to properly supervise his squad, and displaying several performance issues. Peer sergeants and lead police officers reported his squad was being allowed to run amok and not do their share of the work. In September 2019, his lieutenant noticed he was leaving work early and not entering his time into telestaff, which is TPD's timekeeping system. The lieutenant also noticed DeCruz was putting in overtime on days he was leaving early. In October 2019, the Office of Professional Standards was notified of these concerns and opened an investigation. During one of the interviews of his peer sergeants, it was discovered a call had come out of a stabbing, a person was down, there was blood everywhere, and the person was unresponsive. The call was updated to say there was also a fire at that location. Sergeant Kidd, who was a sergeant who responded from a different area, he arrived on scene and there was no supervisor on scene. Kidd contacted the crews, who told him he was finishing something up at the substation and would head over in a minute. The crews never responded the entire time Kidd was on scene. Kidd finally secured from the scene when yet a different sergeant came on scene. Kidd contacted his lieutenant and told him it was one of the most egregious incidents of a sergeant not being on the scene that he had seen citywide in a long time. Office of Professional Standards also discovered between June 1, 2019 and December 31, 2019, DeCruz was compensated without working or entering leave time for approximately 99 hours at $77.91 per hour, totaling a financial loss to the City of Tucson of $7,713.09. OPS submitted the case to the Pima County Attorney's Office, who declined to prosecute based on the inability to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that DeCruz intended to deprive the City of Tucson or the Tucson Police Department of services or property, or that he knowingly obtained a benefit by his conduct. No substantial likelihood of conviction. The criminal investigators did not develop probable cause to arrest DeCruz because he declined to answer their questions. Because he was compelled to answer questions on the administrative interview, OPS investigators determined, based on his responses, the answers would have provided probable cause in a criminal investigation. DeCruz resigned from TPD. The agency sustained allegations of on-duty felony, failure to supervise, actions on duty, and policy violations. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends you initiate proceedings. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Haas. Comments, questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chris Voskis, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. DeCruz, Peace Officer Certification, case number 20-119.
Do I hear a second? Thank you, Chief.
Mr. Chair, David Shin, second.
Thank you, Director. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Last case of the day, 20-116. Ms. Hawes, back to you.
Roberto Cerna, formerly with the Pima Community College Police Department, had been a field training officer for several years with that agency. On April 23, 2020, he began the first day of training with Officer Yodelman, who was in his third phase of FTO, but the first day with Cerna. Yodelman submitted a memo to a sergeant at the end of his shift saying, almost immediately upon leaving the station, Cerna said, "I don't give a fuck about this job. I make racist jokes. I will offend you, but I don't give a fuck." Yodelman said Cerna asked vulgar questions that were sexual in nature that were offensive. There are examples of those questions in your overview that you received. Cerna also listened to a podcast through his phone and the car stereo system that talked negatively about people of different races, and he talked negatively about gay people as well as black people. Yodelman felt this was inappropriate, especially for officers working on a college campus, as well as it being his first day with the FTO. Yodelman said Cerna called him a pansy and called him gay when he answered the "would you rather" questions. Cerna started a conversation about hiking and said he would look for places where he could take a date and have sex. When Cerna was confronted with these accusations, he said Yodelman had a right to be offended if he in fact was, but he should have addressed it with him because he would have stopped. He referred to the beginning of the shift and said he never said what Yodelman accused him of saying. He has a spiel he uses with all OITs, and that was not it. He did say he uses the "would you rather" questions as an icebreaker with OITs. Cerna had to come back to all the issues Yodelman brought up and either denied them or minimized them. The problem is Cerna and Yodeman were the only two people in that patrol car. The agency sustained violations of code of conduct and standards of behavior for Pima Community College employees, as well as Pima Community College Police Department administrative procedures for code of ethics and professional conduct. Cerna resigned in lieu of termination. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends you initiate proceedings. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Halls. Questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, David Rhodes, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Cerna's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Sheriff. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Matt Figueroa, I second.
Thank you, sir. Any further discussion? Hearing none, call for the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. Moving on, agenda item aye. Future agenda items. Director?
Mr. Chairman, we have nothing, but as always, we'll be happy to entertain anything the board would like us to take a look at between now and July.
Thank you, Director. Any further comments from board members? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to close. Thank you all.
So moved, Mr. Chairman. Jerry Williams.
Thank you, Chief. Have a safe. See you next month. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.